I'm going to tell you the pat answer. The pat answer about octachords is as follows. It's made out of mana, okay? Everything in life is about mana, or different levels of mana. And that energy is regarding that has to do with this. The Hawaiian understanding of octachords was that we had this, like, in my book I say that octachords have some of the properties of light, spider web, water, and electricity. And that's not a bad analogy. It's like in the earlier 20s or so when we had that resurgence of mediumship going on, some mediums could create an opening and this etheric substance would come out. And it was almost like it would just, you know, flow and you could see it and it could touch things. Mana, in the form of Akka, which is their name for it, the best way I can tell you it's a principle more than anything else. If you can't see the human eye, you really can't appreciate it. But if you can, it makes it a lot easier to explain. Our auric field, like, is like magnetic, as well as a goo. And when you touch something, you leave a piece of you there, and it creates a string or a cord back from you. Not all of these stay permanent. If your intentions are attached to them, they do. But the point comes down to is that creates a piece of mana that's attached there and pulled away, causing a strain that looks like a cord. And that's what an octa cord is. It has all sorts of properties. In other words, you can transmit false energy through it. You can. It's sticky. Everywhere we go in our auric field, we affect things through this process of this octa, and that's because it's in our field. That's how we facilitate a lot of the healings that all of us do, including in ourselves. Does that help you, Nancy?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Oh, come on.
Well,
don't be bashful.
Question. Can you lose your aqua cord or auroric or field when you, that happens when you die? Is this what happens?
Well, what happens when you die, the energy is cut off and all those cords drop.
How many How many cords can you have?
Billions.
Ah. Oh. Okay.
Billions. And I'll tell you something else, too. Not all these... We here on the earth plane think of things in a linear capacity, okay? Mm-hmm. Quantum physics has already shown that particles can vibrate a particular way in a particular dimension, so to speak, and they communicate with other quantum physical particles. Now, when I read that article, I have to admit that I was pulling my ponytail a little bit because it was stretching what I understood, but I understood it succinctly. What he was saying was, we don't, you know, is there a cord attached from A to B? Not necessarily, but there's a frequency attached to A to B, and that's how they communicate interfrequency and interdimensionally over great expanses of time and space. So the point comes down to that's that substance that we all exist in. You can literally see octachords around people and where they're attached to other things that's in their space that's theirs. Or with other people, you know. You have a guy and a gal or somebody who cares, and not necessarily a guy and a gal, but they have two people that are in love with each other. And they'll be walking together and they'll separate. You'll see these things flow between them. And they're not, you know, it's not like they can't go through matter. They do. And even when they're not actually attached, there's a level of which these things are vibrating simultaneously in concert with the other person. That makes sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. I got out of that. Okay.
How do you spell aqua? A-K-U-A?
A-K-A. No, A-K-A.
Oh, thank you.
That's aqua. A-K-U-A is aqua. That's, you know, while we mentioned that, what is aqua? You have an amakua. And where does an amakua come from? It's a akua. Akua is the creator of souls. It is the Teakua, another name for God in the Hawaiian language. That you'll see sometimes, Teakua Mauna Loa. In other words, the Mauna Loa is not necessary, but that's just another way of making the point, depending on how you're using it. Everything in the Hawaiian language is like Italian. You know, depending on how you say it, what kind of hand language you use can determine, and where it's used in the conversation can determine the difference to its meaning. Next.
I have a question about the newsletters from Max. I've only received one since our last call, and I just wondered if there's only been one sent out or what happened there.
Well, that's something Julian to have your address. Julian, you out there?
Yeah, which was the last number you read?
Oh, 25 or 26 maybe.
So what's happened is there's been about five or six more that we've published, but you know, haven't been created to automatically send out. So if you go to the site and browse the list of bulletins, you'll see quite a few more.
Oh, okay. So I'm not missing anything that I should have gotten.
Just
thank you.
On the...
Yes, you are.
The 34.
Okay.
I've been working on these, actually. It did a lot of work updating the site and editing the bulletins.
Oh, I know.
Hand, looking for volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me or not?
I got you, Ken, too. Go ahead.
There's that saying, once connected, always connected.
We are always connected. Whether or not we act upon it or use it is another story, but we're all connected. Trust me on that one.
Now, do you feel that that's a subconscious knowledge more than a conscious knowledge?
I don't feel it. I can tell you for unequivocal fact, it is a profound connection that comes with all human beings and living things. Because that's part of our sacred agreements with ourselves and the Creator. When you're born, you are a creator. I mean, we're connected to animals, we're connected to plants, there's levels of connection, but the point is we're all connected. And as you learn to discern the levels of life force or mana in things, and you start learning to have your own relationship built into that, you become quickly aware of that energy everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the connection that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not you're consciously aware of it or not, doesn't mean you're not connected. Believe me, the living divine force is in every living thing. And if that's true, then it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you?
Well, I think so. I kind of can understand the net or the web or whatever you want to call the field of connection of everything, of creation. But then as an individual and the things that as an individual I touch and choose through my intention, and maybe as I go down my path I decide, you know, I'd like to untouch or I do that with intention, or is that something I'm really not able to control my...
You can choose to raise or lower your level of energy and your intention to be involved with certain things, but I live on a lake, and I'm always amazed in reference to what you're talking about. Today, for example, I was outside seatedly for a few minutes because it was 85 degrees and 65% humidity, and it wasn't raining. Anywho, it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
But across the lake, I mean, this lake is 48,000 acres, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Way the hay across the lake, there was a boat moving toward the dam. I can't see the dam from where I am, but I know that's the direction that boat was heading. And it was it was so small, it was a dot. And after that boat went by, I had wave action from that boat going by.
Well,
and you know, and that's my point. We're all stuck in this water of connection. Once upon a time, I had a conversation with an astronaut, and it was Neil Armstrong. And one of the things that I asked him, I said, when you were out on the, doing the LEM activity, I don't think even what LEM stands for, but he was floating in space, he'd given a talk. And I said, what was that like? And he said it was the most profound moment in his life when he realized that there he was floating outside in the vacuum of space, where the only blue dot for as far as the eye could see was the Earth,
mm-hmm.
and there was him, and it changed his life forever. And I said, well, my question to you is, sir, what were you floating in? He said, that's a damn good question, because we don't know what that is. You know, there's no oxygen out there. There's no gravity. We don't know what that is, but you can feel it. You can put your hand forward and feel your hand pushing it. There's
wow.
something there. And my comment to him was, you know, I think you were floating in the plasma of God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it fits to me. Can I use that? And I said, sure. I heard him use it several other times. But, you know, basically, I don't disagree with that analogy, and neither did he.
Uh-huh.
We're all connected in that plasma.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that if we'd been more sensitive, when he pushed his hand through that thing and we'd have targeted, we'd all felt it at the same time we're alive.
Hmm.
A gal by the name of Brown wrote a book about light. And one of the things that she brought to the attention in that book is a simple method of helping, using the principle to help support or create a better way. And you don't always have to know the specifics to make a better way. What you got to know is that when you have dictators rapidly killing people who are innocent and starving because they're one tribe versus another, that clearly, it doesn't. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand that's not the better way. You don't have to micromanage these decisions, but we as souls gather together on a nightly basis, and we co-create this reality around us. We do this every day. And one of the things that she pointed out, which I thought was absolute genius, I don't know if she was the one that thought of it originally, but she was the one where I read it originally, was
mm-hmm.
her statement was, if you don't like what's happening, like, you know, Uganda or someplace far away where these people are killing people, or you don't like what's going on in the war of terrorism where these people who are extremists in the Muslim faith are preaching hate, hatred, and teaching people to create this way, then what you tell yourself tonight, at night before you go to bed is you ask your Amakua not to co-create that space or to genuinely join to withdraw its mana from that creation of space.
That's very
words,
good.
We're not going to create with that to allow that to happen. I'm not going to go against them. I'm just not going to support them energetically as a soul. In one of Greg Graydon's book, he talked about the same thing. He'd had experimentation done where they chose not to support certain things, and it made a difference. He's right. Same principle.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, that becomes a real reality as to how you can have a non-confrontational modality that can cause the change on a huge scale across this planet. We all want a better space. We all want if you go to these places and you talk to people, they all want peace. But peace always comes with a price. And that price is that we have to learn a relationship with each other, but it doesn't have to be over killing. It doesn't have to be over these other things. That's one of the reasons I like it. We live a hurtless and helpful life being of service. It's not an easy thing to do, to work that relationship, to live a hurtless and helpful life being of service. It's a tough dude. Try it sometime. It's really something you got to work at on a day-to-day basis, moment by moment.
Right, right. Because I think every human being has a thought process that creates fears of some type.
Well, I think life helps create that force. I think that's one of the reasons we're here is to learn. You know, if it wasn't for evil, we wouldn't appreciate good and vice versa. The point comes down to, in order to have us grow, the part of us in this life that's growing is our Huna Hapili. That's the part of us being trained and teach ourselves to exercise that muscle better, if you think about it in that kind of context. is to have worked those relationships out. That's done on a basic self level.
Right, right, definitely.
So, you know, that works pretty well. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Pardon?
You now know what I know.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Anybody else got a question?
Yeah, I have one. Tammy, I emailed it in that one of the things that I was curious about, hopefully all of us have read the book that Long wrote, and I was wondering if any of the techniques that he referred to in there have proven to have been improved upon, or anything changed since the writing, and also the bulletin.
What was the name of the book again?
Secret Science Behind Miracles and Secret
Lord,
Science.
Yes. Lots changed since then. This kind of reminds me of the movie about Israel. And so what's so important about Israel? Everything and nothing. The same thing goes about that book. There's a lot of things that have changed and become more updated, but what's the key issue here? The whole principle, if there's anything that was brought to the forefront, there was my own personal opinion, if Max Freedom Long did anything, what he did was bring the principle of three cells forward and show how they interrelated with each other to get a desired goal and outcome achieved,
mm-hmm.
and the results in the form of harmony. That's one. The second thing Max did was bring to Hawaiian ancient practices dowsing.
Mm-hmm.
The use of pendulums for internal communication is a godsend. Now, I'm not trying to beat on the American Society of Dowsers, to which I am a member, but the point comes down to Puma dowsing and ASD dowsing is two separate commodities. And most ASD people don't know why or understand their dowsing works, and yet they pretend to teach Huma there that they miss the power of the relationship. The dowsing principles of using that pendulum to learn to better intercommunicate with yourself and to create a better rapport is gold. Because what's the most powerful secret on the planet Earth? Through my basic self to my high self, I pray. End of story. That's it, right there. If you can create a good understanding of your relationship to your Una with you, get your gateway open so that you can dialogue with your Amakui or your high self, and again receive the blessings of the divine force flowing through you through that connection, you have just been blessed. And that is that sacred arrangement, that agreement that we came into this planet with to begin with. Those are your sacred agreements. To learn to develop that, to learn those roots. So the answer to your question is, has anything changed in reference to what was developed in that book? No, nothing. It's still as good as gold as it was originally written. What has changed, we've become more aware of the relationship and we've developed better techniques to use those original things that he talked about. And through those better techniques, we cut through a lot of crap. In other words, we get rid of a lot of this so-called primitive ritual so that you can get down to getting down to. Many times people get ready to go do something, and they don't understand their filters inside themselves very well. Through the practice of Huma, you can learn to find those filters, remove those filters, and better define where you need to go. And by removing those filters, you then increase your harmony with yourself. The more harmonious you become in your relationship, the more functional you become in your co-creativity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How do we find out what those better technologies are that the bulletins that are coming out are still that old stuff? So,
well, I have a book coming out in July. It'll be out probably before July, but I'm going to leave July
mm-hmm.
open. You'll be able to go to a lot of sites and find it, and I do the level, and that book is about level one. As much as I did not want to have to write that in a book format, you know, every now and then, what I want doesn't make any difference. just like in Star Wars when Obi-Wan Kenobi told Luke, he said, you use the Force and the Force uses you. It's a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That lasts every time I teach a level one class. I pray about it before I go do it so that I won't have the right people come. That's not my decision. That's Amakua's decision. But I do my prayers about it. And this time, when I was on the plane flying into San Francisco to get picked up to go to Francisco, which is not for 17 miles or something like that, Reverend Max was picking me up. I had a knowing that was, a circumstance occurred that was something that I can probably count on almost one hand that ever happened to me. Most of the time, your communication to Amakua is in a knowing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have a knowing, and then that translates into a vocabulary that you understand on a conscious level. It's not just it feels good, it feels bad, but you get more definite in certain things, like you need to move to the left or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I can count. And I'm serious about this. If you took two hands, I'd have a lot of fingers left over the number of times that my Amakua has spoke to me just like I'm speaking to you right now. Well, this isn't my first rodeo, and the moral of the story is my Amakua said, and I quote, go teach this class, remember what you said, listen to what you did, and when you're done, write it down and publish it. You know, that sounds like a pretty direct statement to me. I understand the command when I hear one.
Right.
And I'm doing that. And I've written this thing 17 times. Right now I'm doing a lot of cut and pasting, but the re-edit of the book is more, I'm making it as blunt, line by line, as clear as I know how to make it. There will be no flittery adisms or witterisms. It'll be just, I think it could be best described as just the facts, ma'am, as Joe Friday would say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is.
Well, I look forward to seeing it when it comes out.
Well, it'll be on several sites. And it's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life. It's not easy. So it's real difficult to write a book about how, for instance, in reality, when the learning to practice it is learning how to use your pendulum really well. So well that you don't have to use it anymore, except that under certain circumstances as a verification. But you start off learning to use it. And I hear of a lot of people, I like to do cards I don't do very good with pendulum, and you got a problem you need to work out inside. There's a filter or something, because that's by far one of the most direct modalities of internal communication other than body kinesiology, where you lean forward or leaning back, and what are you doing but making your body a pendulum? It's getting rid of those blocking filters inside of yourself is big business. And that's something else, by the way, that wasn't contained in Max's book. He had stories about where that was done and that you heard about the outcome, but you didn't hear it discuss that process. How did you do that? How did you work about doing that? And that's big business to work out, because what you're going to find is that you either taught something or it wasn't meant that it was always negative. It just simply means a lot of times you'll find out that what you were taught at a certain age and your basic self used all the time now no longer serves you as an adult, and those filters are still in place. They need to be updated. So
I can hear that, because after having read the books many years ago and starting to put some things in practice, I found that I was able to do some healing, and what I did was, I don't know if you call it changing the future or not, but if there was something that I wanted, I would visualize it and visualize it into a tangible thought form so that it came to me. I needed something, and eventually it would present itself to me. I know that's what I was doing.
did you do that strictly through visualization?
I guess you'd call it that, yeah. I want an ironing board. So I'd visualize the ironing board, and this is what it would look like and so forth, and I need this, and then I'd put it out of my mind, and it eventually would come to me.
Okay.
Somebody would get rid of an old one, you know.
Let me re-engineer what you're doing here. I want to talk about two separate issues here. One of my students in the UK, I actually teach people on Skype in various other countries, brought up to me, well, your conversation here doesn't sound like you're putting it into it's already done. And I said, that's correct. You caught that. And he said, well, I don't understand. One way you tell us, always make the prayer as if it's already done. In other words, give thanks for it already being completed. I said, that's correct. He said, well, it can't be both ways. And I said, yeah, it can, because there's a difference. And I said, what do you mean? I said, if you're connected and you're in the flow, your conversation, assuming the visualization, for example, of what you want to have made manifest into reality, or call into reality at that time, is being done so while you're actually thinking it and living it at the point.
Mm-hmm.
You're in co-creation ideology, so to speak. You're in the flow.
Mm-hmm.
While you're recognizing the flow, you're sending the visualization of what you want to have called into your reality right then.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
And that in that state, there's absolutely nothing that cannot be changed for the better. And believe me, if you can maintain that consciousness, you'll become a great healer, because that's what it takes to do that. However, the second part of that is, if you're not necessarily in that flow, and it's hard to maintain that flow also. First off, it consumes a ton of energy. I work on that all the time. And the kicker comes down to, I'm not the only person I know who's like this, but a lot of people who do remote or foreign healing from one location to the other over the telephone with people, I actually lose weight sitting in a chair not doing anything. I mean, we're talking about co-creating from here to California. These people are now in my space because I'm connected with them on the telephone, and I'm co-creating right then to get that done. I can lose weight sitting here in this chair.
Hmm.
You know, that's how strong that force can be, that you take the hold open that gateway in order to have that flow made, and this is a phrase now, make manifest into reality what you want to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just manifesting. Nothing just manifests. You have to make it manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that by creating it, because you're in part of that process.
God, yes!
Having said that, moving to the next phase of that, is that when we co-create the following things, you know, you literally, through in cooperation with your alma mater, make that happen. Now, that's not easy, but it is a reality that goes on, and that's how healing occurs. That helps you. Then part two of that is, well, how do you, you know, I would have finished up, like, let's use the ironing board. You know, God knows you probably will have 20 ironing boards at least over this conversation.
That was a weak analogy, probably.
There's an energy present while we're talking here. We're not just whistling Dixie. We're creating a force in our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But when you make manifest and you send that up as a prayer or a ha-right, I have initiated a term called PPOA. It's a prayerful plan of action. In other words, the practice of Huna is not about sitting around having hope that the universe is just going to come and help me. That's not the way that works. If you want the universe to come do what it's going to do, you have to use universal rules and regulations to make that manifest in your life, one of which is to use the laws of attraction that we clearly understand. And they're being talked about more and more in the moral to that story, as you just can't nilly-willy go running around and go, oh, I'll turn it over to the universe. Well, if that's the case, I mean, the universe is going to not help you very much, because you didn't just turn anything over. You can't sit back and wait for it to come catch up. You got to do your part. And that's the point. A prayerful plan of action is to write that prayer down and get approval from your armature, set up a time of day, build the mana up necessary to make it make manifest so that you can feed it to the armature so it can bring it into creation and attract that reality as to the reality being made manifest to your life right then. That's a little bit more than going, oh, I'm going to wait on the universe. Excuse me, you'll be waiting a long time. you know, and there's this other reality that goes with that either, that the universe cares. And wrong answer. The universe does not care. The universe has rules and regulations. We either use them or we don't. If you don't, then you get what you get. And that's the point. And while I'm on that subject, I want to deviate just a little bit to all those that hear that my voice and my words and their intended meaning. If you got some belief factor inside of you that says, well, I'm not supposed to get paid for this, or I'm not supposed to get anything out of using this sacred knowledge or anything like that, I personally hope that this statement that we just said, that we can just take that bug wherever it is in you and remove it. We create like this all the time. This is how we create our desired goals and objectives into reality, whether we realize it or not. And so by learning Huni, you become more familiar and more directly involved in that process. But the reality is, if we acquire any desired goals, that's the way they're created and made manifest into reality. By learning the procedures of Huni, or by learning the rules that Huni manipulates or works through, and then makes you a co-partner in, by your relationship, you speed up the process. And this bull about you don't get that done for yourself, if that's true, then we don't. Why the laws of attraction in existence? That's the most bull poo-poo I've ever heard. And that, where whoever wrote that obviously had some meaning that they understood that and they didn't want everybody else to be able to do it, if you see what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the only one that can make a prayer that works and you're the chief whiz. So, having said all of that, use it for good things. So create into reality, and you know, and here, there's another benefit. I mean, I don't think people think in terms of their relationship to the Creator. When you practice Huni, you become close to it. You'll feel things, and you'll want to be places sometimes, and you don't have a clue why you're there. You don't have to know. The fact that you're there co-creating in light, living a hurtless and helpful life, being of service, means that while you're standing there, everything that's in your field is being positively affected right then. Because it's in your field and you choose to live your life this way, you now co-create a difference. Sometimes that translates you maybe to help person A or people B or group whatever. Sometimes you don't know why you're there and you don't have to understand that. What you're there is supporting the living divine force in its action. Like I said, Star Wars had it right. It uses you and you use it. It works. Next.
Hi, this is Betty. I have a question on the dowsing. How can you be sure that you're getting good answers when you're doing the dowsing?
Well, that's a valid and excellent question. I'll tell you what I know. Ultimately, the bottom line is the product produced, okay?
Yes.
That's number one, the product produced. And as you learn to douse, be it use the pendulum or whatever means that you're using, as you learn to do that, you will build a relationship where your basic self feels that it can trust you to tell you the truth. Unless you run across some internal filter that says otherwise, you should get good results, but you have to ask a lot of questions. I am probably best known for knowing how to ask the right questions. And I tell people that it isn't that I know all the right questions. I just don't like to take no for an answer without understanding a little bit more about why. And what that boils down to is like, well, I'll share something about a recent client session. They were trying to discern where they need to be working from. Hello? They were trying to discern that. When we got them clear, in other words, from conscious to basic self and high self to basic self, high self to conscious self, and everything was clear, they started their work learning how to figure this out. And so they would go through their basic self, say, maybe I talked to the high self through you, and they said yes, and then they would ask the question, can you make it known to me where I should be? And the point comes down to is you have to do your part in this. You just don't sit there and wait on the Hamakuas to dial you up on the phone and say, okay, Fred, you're supposed to go to England. And to get there, call me and I'll tell you what city. That's not the way that works. You have to co-create and be a part of the process. So you say, am I supposed to stay in this country where I am, or am I supposed to stay in this state where I am, or province or whatever? You know, you start the process of looking at a broader level and narrowing it down and doing your dowsing, and then you look at the reality of what you were told and why. And you use your conscious mind to think about that. Now, here is a principle about dowsing, which is something that you're talking about, the other lady talking about, is there any improvements? It's not an improvement, but I'm going to acknowledge a difference, and I think I'm the only person you're going to hear this from. At least this is my propagation of my practice of Huna. You hear about through my basic self to my high self all the time. Very seldom do you ever hear anybody talk about from their conscious self to their high self. And that's big business, because just because I get something from my basic self, I'm still connected to my Alma Kula consciously. And I need to have guidance to be able to figure that out. So learning to transmit, translate that intuition that's also running at the same time while I'm in harmony into a better understanding is big business. So in answer to how do you know you get the right questions and get the right answers and how you can count on them is that you build a relationship from start to finish. You work out that relationship and you continue to remove your filters and you use your good common sense and you work through the process and start expanding yourself so that you can feel literally, consciously, and emotionally, this flow. And, you know, it's like, there's no big secret that I've been an investigator for many years in my life, and I can tell you that in some of my life I've been a police officer and I was a narcotics agent, and I'm just telling you, you'll get in situations where your decisions change things. And I'm sitting there getting ready to say, but I need to turn this corner now. And I'm not going to go around that corner until I get an answer. We're not going to take that step. And the reason being, there's very bad people around that corner who have guns who wouldn't think twice about pulling holes in me. So you're sitting there thinking, you know, okay, is it safe to go around this corner at this time? No. It's a real clear answer. And, well, I'm going to have to eventually go around it, and if we wait a minute, do things change? Yes, we will be able to accomplish our goals. And you learn to go through the process of asking those questions and using your good sense. You know, it starts working out the relationship. And sometimes you get nothing but no's, and that's when I say, is there any way to create a different solution for this? If I get a yes, can we call into reality a better solution, yes or no? Yes, so when I'm starting to work on that, that's me thinking on my feet. Now, who am I getting this information and intuition from? Is that coming from basic self to high self? No. That's coming from conscious self to high self and verifying through basic self to high self. See what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And that's big business. But it's about working it, and you got to work it.
I understand.
Okay.
Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
I have one more question. Going through the different Huna sites, I came across one that said that you need to take an NLP course before you study Huna. Do you feel that way?
No, ma'am.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, James,
let me
maybe.
Tell you something. Go ahead. Did you say something, Julian?
I was just joking.
There's a lot of education you can get that can assist you in bettering your internal relationship with yourself, but there's absolutely nothing that replaces hand-on experience working with yourself, working on getting your filters out, and using the system to create your desired goals and objectives. In the store.
Good story.
NLP was created in the 1970s. I don't know how the Kahunas did it before NLP came along. It just worked.
Isn't that amazing that they were able to stumble through that process and never had NLP?
No, I'm joking. And the second part is they collect the $2,000 first to get the NLP training. The NLP training or not.
And I don't think they teach you very good HUNA either. Anybody else?
I had a couple of comments on things that I've been doing, and I wondered if you'd comment on them.
Sure.
One is that I decided that in order for me to get really used to this, that I would walk around consciously aware of the three selves as much as possible. And I used more dowsing rods than a pendulum because I can feel it on the palms of both hands when I get an answer. And as a result of that, I find that I'm more able to sense a feeling in my hands of which answer it's going to be, even when I'm not holding the dowsing rods now.
Okay, hold right there. What you've done is starting to develop your internal communication, and that's a good thing, because whether you're using a pendulum or dowsing rod, you're learning right away that you start your discernment and know the difference between it ain't right or it is right. And that's the point. And you use your verification process, albeit dowsing rod, kinesiology, or pendulum, if you're in doubt. That makes sense?
Yeah.
That means
absolutely.
You're developing just fine.
Yeah, I find that I'm walking around more with a much more of a state of reverence for the Trinity of Man, because it feels much more connected to me, you know. And the other thing is, after you talked about the gargoyles at your mother-in-law's house and picking them up last time,
yep,
when they were so heavy, I went out to weed this huge garden that was covered with weeds, and I was going to pull each one individually, and it was taking forever. And I thought, okay, why don't I work with the three selves and ask the roots if they will release themselves from the soil. And after a while, it got so that they were coming up with all their roots on them. And I was so happy about this. I was so ecstatic over this little thing of roots coming out with, you know, when I pulled on the weed.
I understand that entirely. And I'll tell you something else. Wait till you go fishing.
Oh, yeah?
Now, are there any fish out there would like to give up themselves so that I could eat better this weekend? You know?
I love it.
I've never had any jump in the boat, but I've had a lot of fun fishing better.
Oh, that's great. I decided the more little things that I work on, the more I get used to the whole process of doing it. And not to ask for the great big things right off the bat, but to learn the process of doing it in small ways lots of times.
You are absolutely correct. The same process is in effect whether you're pulling roots or healing cancer. It's the same process. But it's about building a level of confidence within yourself and your basic self and your amakua. When you can get yourself to work in unison and become whole while you're doing things, it doesn't make any difference what the project is. It's about learning to work in synergy with you. And
there are no big or small miracles, right?
That's true. A miracle's a miracle every day.
Yep.
But living in a miracle consciousness is wonderful, because what you've done is, in the process of doing that, let's think about the reality of what you did. While you were doing that, what did you do? You verified the process within you, albeit a simple thing. Doesn't matter. It's still the process. And given that most Unahupitis, or basic selves, are not necessarily cognitively very mature, you've just gotten them to do a baby step of energy work with you that was wonderful. And you accomplished what? A desired goal and objective. And you know that because of the product that was produced.
Absolutely. And I'm the one, basically, my brain is the one, my conscience is the one that needs the convincing. Because I keep trying to find the logic in it. And when I'm working as one piece like that, then I don't have to, you know, my brain doesn't have as much resistance to, we got to find a logical explanation for this.
You've heard the logical explanation for it, and you're not accepting that as one is logical, because the principles of what we're talking about are deep-rooted in many forms of psychology and other cultures as well. So what I would say to you is this, whatever, you know, I have this thing, and I record it all the time, I upgrade it, and I write it down, and this is a suggestion I want everybody to hear. I call it the Mahalo Nui Loa List, meaning the Thank You All Powerful List. And the moral to the story goes in there is that part of creating the prayer actions of what you do is that you start doing stuff inside of you. I don't start off like that Hawaiian psychologist said when he was talking about the Hawaiian way and he did this and that. I don't start off with saying I'm sorry. This isn't about being sorry. This is about acknowledging who I am. And what I start off with, I give thanks to my basic self and to my high self and to Kiyokua for my life. I'm starting off with thank you for my life. And the next thing I start off with is that through my basic self to my high self and from my conscious self to high self, I want to start off with thank you for healing the things in me that resist this type of wisdom. Thank you for healing the things in me that stop your energy and flow from working in me instantly. Thank you for healing the thought form, shared complexes and belief patterns that no longer serve us and that limit our ability to grow in love, light, and healing. Thank you for healing my finances. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for healing my internal organs. Thank you. I just go on down the line, whatever comes to my mind. If I have thoughts, thank you for healing the thought forms, belief patterns, and complexes inside of me that says that a general shotgun effect cannot work specifically, because it can't. Especially when you remove the filters that says it can't. Thank you for removing the doubts from me based on my experiences and the things that I know to be true. Thank you for healing my conscious mind. Thank you for removing the filters and blocks inside of me. And I record that on my MP3 player. When I'm driving someplace, you know, I play that. A lot of times I combine that with, we have a radio station here in town called Steve FM, and they play what they want, and they're really a better choice of music, but I'll hear something that's good with that, and I'll hit that button. So while I'm sitting there grooving, I'm hearing all this Mahalo Nui Loa talk, and when that Mahalo Nui Loa gets going, I'm making me happy by healing that. And that's the point. I'm putting that prayer action up there to remove blanketly things that I felt or were intuitively told to get out of me. So that's just a suggestion.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is just wonderful.
And I'm going to say this again. I said this on several of these calls. But the moral of the story comes down to is this. Record your prayers. You got a prayer action, record your prayer. And in the process of recording that prayer, go ahead and re-record it again from another source while you are listening to the recording and saying your part. Believe me when I tell you that the power is in the word. You know, when I open up that line, through my basic self to my high self, I pray. Let me tell you something. My Una Hasili and I know exactly what we're getting ready to go do. I mean, it's big business. And the issue comes up to that you want to create that prayer action so that when you hear this, I mean, I just, Julian, can you hear me? Hello, Julian.
I hear you. There's some from somebody, some background noises.
Okay. And ma'am, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, Julian, I want you to repeat after me, and I want you to repeat after Julian exactly what he says. We won't do it yet, but I want you to hear this. Just thank you for healing me. Okay, now, here's the line that we're going to say, doing you repeat this, and then man, you repeat this, right after him. Here's the line, through my basic self to my high self I pray, from my conscious self to my high self I pray, thank you for healing me. Julian, go.
From my basic self to my high self, to my
conscious self to my high self,
thank you for healing me.
Your turn, man.
From my basic self to my higher self, from my conscious self to my higher self, I thank you for healing me.
Now, all together, I want all three of us to say the same thing. Repeat after me. Through my basic self to my high self.
From my
basic
self. All the same right there, yeah. Go ahead.
From
my conscious self to
my
high self.
From my conscious self to my high self.
Thank you for healing me.
Thank you for healing me.
You don't get a good example of this, but if you got a cell phone and a house phone, take your cell phone, call your house phone, put them both up to your ear and try not to get the squeal so that you can hear it all, okay? And then say that. You'll hear yourself repeat it two other times, and that makes three of them. That's the point about recording, recording, and re-recording, because then when you get two of you on there, the third time you're saying it out loud with yourself, repeating the same prayer, when I tell you the power's in the word, it's in the word, and the team shows up on the recording. It really intensifies what you're trying to do.
Just now, even though, is it Julian?
Yeah.
Just now, when I couldn't hear Julian speaking all the words as I was speaking them, but when I did, I definitely felt a surge in my chest from it.
All right, now, let's cheat a little bit. And I'm going to extend this cheating to where everyone can hear my words and their intended meaning. The cheating, for me, cheat just means that I'm not going to sit here and worry about how this is done in real-world situations. The cheating happens when you come into synergy inside of yourself. And when I work with people on the telephone, when I'm doing stuff, I do this in what I call standard permission. And the standard permission would have to be an action of consent by their own conscious intent. And what are the standard permissions are, simply put this, the first act of any healer is to do no hurt or harm. The second thing to do is to create healing manifestation. So, with that understanding, the standard permissions in place, meaning that all who can hear my voice, that is something that they have to consciously agree to. I don't have to hear it, they have to hear it. But now, through my basic self to my high self, from my conscious self to my high self, and you'll hear my voice change in this process. Through my basic self to my high self and my conscious self to my high self, I give great thanks to my Alma Kua and to my basic self for their cooperation. I ask that they go through the gathering of the great company of Alma Kuas to the Alma Kua of everyone who can hear my words and their intended meaning this evening and on this call with me right now. And as they hear this, I open up and ask that the living divine force, the Kia Kua, open its gateway. And I call to them and I say to them the following, through their high selves to their basic self, thank you for removing filters in them to keep them from understanding these principles. Thank you for healing them so that they can be healed, made whole, made sound, made clear, made secure both now and in the future. Thank you for removing the filters that block their own internal healing. Thank you for giving them wisdom, which is knowledge and power used correctly. Thank you for moving that energy inside of them right now so the things that are darkness that keep them from growing into light are healed, made whole, made sound, made clear and secure. Thank you for clarifying their relationship inside their mind so that they can continue to grow into light and to have that energy precede them in every act and deed they do and work in synergy. Thank you for making that so now and in their future. Thank you for healing them, becoming whole and sound. And through their basic selves to their high selves and from their conscious selves to their high selves, thank you for clearing that communication, both sending and receiving. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mahalo nui loa. Ao ma ma ua noa lele wa le atua la. Now, that's an example of how you can create that gateway opening in other people and cause that to happen. It's a technique. And you were, somebody was asking, have we learned any new techniques? Oh, yeah. It isn't that they're new. It's just an expansion of what we already know. We've learned to use it better. And that's how you start the process.
I have a question.
Shoot. Go ahead.
When I started doing some healing work a few years now, a couple of years, I things have been blowing out around my house, from microwaves to toaster ovens to electronics. And when you were speaking, another electrical thing just blew in the house, went boom. And on my hand, there's a red spot that has been bleeding and blistered on both palms underneath the little finger, the palm part. And it'll heal. I put salve. I've taken it to the doctor. And it's that when I feel a lot of energy, the hands become absolutely hot, you know, and then they just, it's like there's a ball, kind of almost like a volleyball, and you can feel that energy going from one hand against the other back and forth through this imaginary ball. And it could be 4 feet or a foot or, you know, depending. But there's this, and I'm not really afraid of it, except that it bothers me that, you know, electrical devices are affected. Why is that happening?
Well, that's happening because some part of you is out of sync and harmony.
Okay.
That's the first thing. But the other thing is, are you clearing yourself, Corey? Did you get a copy of my general revocation?
No, I don't have a copy of that.
Well, we're going to... That's another thing I'll have Julian send out. Actually, it's changed some sense then. But I want you to listen to my words and their intended meaning right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's okay with you, can we get you healed right now, yes or no?
Yes, yes.
On your own, on the behalf of, let me go down in part two. Let me see. Well, I messed myself up here. In the name of the living divine force, and in the Huna Life Church, that's really the key of Kua. What we, you know, when we formed this church, one of our original founder said we ought to make it all in English or in our tongue. And in truth, she had a point, okay? But there are some vibration rates. I mean, the great holy salutation in the Jewish religion, Kadosh, 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 I don't know what's seven up. Just the utterance of that frequency makes things of the lesser levels of light can't be there. It creates a flow of force that by the mere pronunciations of those words aloud set up a principle and an energy. That capability exists in all languages, but it has mostly to do with the sounds and your intentions. So having said that to you, in the name of the living divine force in Mala Makua, on your behalf and through your Anakua, I do hereby revoke any and all permissions that you may have given knowingly or unknowingly, accepted or allowed for any extra basic cells, spirits, and or entities of any kind, eating companions, passed over loved ones, persons or things, any form of ET and or ET implant, to be in any way, shape, type, or form attached to you or within you, I revoke these permissions now. I further revoke any and all permissions that you may have given or allowed or accepted in any way, shape, type, or form, for in any inherited family, familiar spirits from both sides of your family to be within you or attached to you in any way, shape, type, or form. I further revoke any permissions these spirits may have given for any other spirits to be within you, and I also revoke any and all permissions for any and all spirits and all other negative things that you may have received from any and all of your relationships. I do hereby revoke and cast out any and all dark matter within you or attached to you in any way, shape, type, or form and send it back to its source, never to return to you again. I do hereby revoke any permissions and or acceptances that you may have given and or allowed in any way, shape, type, or form for portals to be within you or attached to you that are not for your highest good and healing as adjudicated by your Amakua. I revoke these things, these permissions, and allowances now, and closing them back to their source. I do hereby revoke all attunements of any kind that you may have received knowingly or unknowingly, accepted or allowed, regardless of their source, that your Amaku or higher self adjudicates now not to be for your highest good and healing. I revoke all these permissions now. I send these things back to their source with great forgiveness. I ask that their karma come upon them instantly where applicable, so that they will learn the errors of their ways and come to the living divine force and life. In the name of the living divine force and my Amaku, the Po Amaku, and your Amaku, if these actions are for your highest healing and good, I ask that they be done in the most positive way possible for all concerned. In the name of the living divine force, my Amaku, the Po Amaku, and your Amaku, so shall it be thought, having been said, make this so now, in the most positive way possible.
Wow. My body's tingling.
That's a general revocation. And Guy said, where did you get that? I wrote it. You know where I got it from? I have cleared so many people of crap that I finally got a checklist. I was thought, we need to clear this. We need to clear that. And I wrote that as a result of that. And when I tell you that it isn't about what I say or do, it's about learning the practice within yourself and making applications. Actually get, you know, a lot of good ideas from a lot of people I've worked on in the past, right up and said, look, you know, when we were doing this, what if you change that wording to this? And you know, a lot of the stuff they tell me is just great because it makes it more simple. If you can make something more simple, but it does make it direct, and anytime you can get things clear, there's a lot of language in there. Knowingly or unknowingly. That sounds like, you know, well, what you either know or you don't know. You accept stuff all the time so you don't have a clue about it, and you want to know about that stuff in advance. So you want to cover the spectrum. And what am I calling on when I say, my Amaku, your Amaku, and the Po Amaku? There's a great company of Amakuas that are out there that support love and light and the creative source. They are there to help us and our Amakuas while we're here. Call upon their help. That's one of the Hawaiian systems. It's a system that exists in most religion. It isn't worshiping Apo Amakuas by any means. But their purpose is to help us help ourselves. And a lot of times, that's the only way we can get certain things done. And I can tell you for a fact, I've never personally been able to remove an extraterrestrial type of being from anybody without their help. And I'm going to tell you something else. I wouldn't want to be an ET that got in their clutches, because they seem to take great pride and pleasure in anything to do with ET. Woo! It's like, you're going to whack somebody's ET today? We're standing by, you know? I could make a living doing nothing but ET removal. Really, that's how prevalent it is.
Wow.
And it's the damnest thing I've ever seen. I hate to say that, but people get that way. And see, we don't want those freak, your ability to affect those frequencies. We don't want it gone. We just want it to work harmoniously toward the outcome. Because a lot of times how you affect, I used to have that problem. I would go to my friend's house. He said, are you coming over? Yeah, you got to give me 15 minutes before you get here. So, well, I got to unplug everything I can see. Stereo, TV, whatever. So every time you come here, something dies. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
We're talking. This was maybe like 10 minutes ago. Boom! A light flashed out in the room in the den. I look around and think, now what blue now, you know?
I understand that. But that means that you have great healing capability. And so what I'm going to tell you is, that I would go around and bless my house.
Yeah.
I'd take sage. Let's talk about this. Does anybody know why any of that kind of stuff works, by the way?
I use chimes. I use bells. I use harmonics. I have sage. I have incense. Well, I try to do the Balinese space clearing.
Right. I clearly understand why bells and chimes can work, because they'll carry an intention, but most people don't get it why sage works.
I have a bunch of it here. I'll do it tonight.
Well, I mean, when you do the sage, your second set does now. So you have to clear the house. Then you have to start from the first, go back to the first room where you read and do your prayer actions to bless and ground that part of the house so that it can be centered in the forest and not be affected by your energy work. You need to have that agreement with your Amaku in advance.
I should have written every word you just said down. But,
well, the good news is we're recording this and it'll be there. So the better news is that my email address is, my personal email address is HUNA, of course, the digit 1SC at yahoo.com. HUNA1SC for South Carolina at yahoo.com. If you'll send me an email and say, I was the one that wanted to clear the house and had the things blowing up in there.
Right.
I'll, and a mailing address, I'll burn the CD and we'll go from there. I got about, Julian, we've been recording. I'll have to stop this recording in about one. It's actually going to start it over right now. Hold on a minute here. 7, 8, 9, 17. Stop that one. Start it again. All right, we're back on. So we're an hour and 17 minutes. You can only put an hour and 20 minutes on any one CD, and I'll just send you that CD if the night's gone. But the rest of it should be put up on the site, so you go through there and find your part. Thing of it is that when you realize that you get your connection, you know, if you will go back historically and look at all the great healers, I mean, the most well-known throughout the world would be Christ, and what you're going to see is that he would give these chunkets out, like the Lord's Prayer and so forth. And if you really break down that, that's a version of bringing into reality certain things. And it's not that it was overly written or underwritten, but it's the person transferred his intention when he said it to his disciple. Okay? There's a whole world of discussion about that kind of stuff. But the point comes down to you have to learn to co-create with your intention to become very clear about that. When I do this type of work with people on a regular basis, you know, they call me, they pay me, we do this, and we get stuff done. But we turn a lot of stuff around.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. And some people have very unrealistic ideologies. They think that America should happen instantly and shouldn't have to do it again. Well, I'm glad they have that, hope that that would be that way. But basic cells are not that quick. Get stuff clean. We're something in motion. Sometimes it takes more than one session. You need, you know, as long as you're getting better and better results, my job is to teach you not only to get the healing done, but to teach you how to maintain this for yourself. I am not in the business of saving people. I'm in the business of teaching them how to become better at what they do so they can save themselves.
Right.
What's the principle, you know? Feed a man today, you'll have to feed him all the time. Teach him how to fish, and he'll feed himself. My job is to teach people how to do this for themselves.
Right.
And that's also part of the thing about the Human Life Church is heal, teach, train, and mentor. That's what we do. That's what that whole purpose is about, is to get people to learn to do this for themselves. And hopefully, as they begin to see the process, they'll continue to support us in our actions and come to our services and celebrations, either on the phone or on the web or wherever we have calls like this, so that they can co-create with us to create that kind of change in other people.
Mm-hmm.
World's not going to become a better place unless we get off our behind and call into creation something better. You see what I'm saying?
Agreed, definitely.
I mean, we're just not going to be able to sit around on a mushroom and say, well, I'll take it over to the universe. I think people are going to reach out and grab them by their throat and say, the universe doesn't care. Wake up, do better than this, you know.
That's not what I mean.
You opened your lips and said it. You put in a request, honey. Change the request to something more definite and certain. And there you have it.
Have another coaching call.
Why does stage work?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Julian.
I'm going to stop the recording, and you guys can keep talking. I have a conference call to get on. I want to see, does next Wednesday work for the people here? And we'll
you have to do a lot of emailing.
Well, yeah, what I'll do is I'll get this call up and people can listen to this, and then the next call can expand from where what you've created today with everybody.
All right.
Sounds great to me.
Okay.
When we get tired of talking, what do we do? I'll hang up or what?
Hang up when you're done.
All right.
Keep talking here. I'll let you.
Well, I'm recording.